Well, we finished our series in the parables of Jesus. For the last 7 or so weeks, we've covered different parables that Jesus taught in his word. We didn't cover all of them. I'd encourage you to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read through and see all that Jesus had to say through his parables and through his teachings. And when you do that, don't just read it as some story in some book. Make it personal. Make it personal for you. Add yourself into the story. How can you apply the principles and the things that Jesus taught into your life? Allow it to change how you think and how you live, because that's when your life changes. That's when you become more like him. That's when you can receive all that he has for you. And I encourage you, as you do that, to remember how much he talks about the kingdom, to remember how important the kingdom of God is, the value, as we talked about last week, of the kingdom, and then live according to God's kingdom. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and to bring the kingdom, his kingdom. He taught us to pray, God, here on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That's how he taught his disciples to pray. The kingdom is important. It's our kingdom. All that the kingdom offers is ours if we'll live in it and we'll live according to it. And so this week, we're going to look at a message titled The Offer. I've titled this The Offer because we all have an offer before us. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1, if you have your phones and your Bibles and you want to follow along this morning. Daniel chapter 1. We all have an offer set before us. Every day. Every day that you wake up, there's an offer to you. Every day. Everyone who has ever lived has this offer. Everyone who will ever live and come after us will have the exact offer that we have. It might look different to their personal life. Yours won't be different than mine. But at the end of the day, the offer presented to each one of us is the same. The offer is success. Two ways. Success at any cost, according to the world around us, or success God's way, according to his word and his kingdom. That's the offer. That's the offer before us. We may not take either of them, but the offer is there. And the good news in all of that is that both offers are success. Too often we look at Christianity as giving everything up and living a boring, horrible life. That's not the offer. That's not the offer presented to you. And the world doesn't really offer you that either. Both offers are success. That's the good news. Success is available to all of us. But the bad news in this is that if you choose success the world's way, which is your option, which is an offer before you, it ultimately ends in destruction. That's just the truth. That's the reality of it. You can have success, and you can do it the world's way. I know a lot of successful people who know nothing of God, who know nothing of the heart of God, but they have success. But that ends in destruction. If we choose God's way, he's also offering us success, but it ultimately ends in eternal life. Much different. The offer is presented to each one of us. The choice is ours, personally. Each one of you and myself, we have to choose, sometimes hourly, depending on our life and what's going on, but the choice is ours. So Daniel chapter 1, we're going to cover a fair bit of scripture here, but Daniel chapter 1, and there's lots of crazy names, so bear with me, but Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Then he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. And then jumping over to verse 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. And verse 21. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We declare that it's truth. We declare that we will live by it and allow it to change us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to each heart and mind here this morning, to let your words come forward and to do among us and in us what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have King Nebuchadnezzar. He's besieged. He's taken over Jerusalem. There was a battle, and he has won. So he's taken over, and he's bringing with him, now that he has taken over, his way of life. We read that he's bringing with him his gods, with a small g. His rule, his reign, his way, his everything. He even got some of the articles of the house of God. Back in these times of the Bible, these were sacred things. These were very attached to their worship and to God himself. He has some of these articles of the house of God, and he's keeping them. And not only does he keep them, but he brings them in with the false things of his God, of his way of life, and he mixes it together. That's what we see him doing, is he takes the articles of God and articles of his false religion, and he mixes them together. He's taking a mix of everything, and by doing so, he's really doing a great evil. We see this happen today in our churches and in our lives, where we like to take certain things from all over the place. We like to take certain things that we like from the Bible and certain things that we like to take from tradition. And we take all of these certain things that we like, and then we try to make our own religion out of it. We like things and we don't like things. And so we add and we remove and we structure and we try to make it how we like it. This is what the new king is doing. He's taking what he likes of everything and mixing it all together. He has his people, we read, bring to him several young men. And even this he's mixing. He's taking from all of the different groups. He asks for some children of Israel, God's people. He asks for some of the king's descendants, not God's people at the time, and some of the nobles. He asked for these three groups, some of these young men, to be brought together, but he's looking for certain young men because he wants the best of the best. He asks for young men who have no blemish, young men who are good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and who are quick to understand. As I read through this list, I'm glad that this isn't happening right now, because for sure they would take me. This is what he's looking for. Men who are perfect. Men who have no issues. Men who can lead and who will represent him well. And Daniel, we read, is chosen along as one of these men from Judah, along with how we know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the men that he takes of Judah, of God's people. Now to some, as you read this, this might be a dream. This might be a dream for some of us today to be chosen for such a thing as this. These people are chosen by the king of the day, by the man in charge of the land. These people are chosen and they're going to take part in the king's delicacies, the best of the best food and desserts, the best of the best wine, the choicest wine will be theirs. They're going to have 3 years of the best education that you can ever imagine. And they're going to have endless opportunity to work with the king, alongside the king, for the king, in the king's palace and in his courts. They will have authority, they will have power, they will have all of these things. This could be a dream. Talk about promotion. Talk about advancement. Talk about success. This could be a dream. Yet, what many of these men who are chosen don't realize is that going about it this way, it's really just a counteroffer. The king's offer is just a counteroffer to the one already made to each of these men, especially Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God has already made an offer for success. God's already given a plan and a layout and a way of life that will lead to success, that will lead to relationship with him, that will lead to God working in their behalf in power and miracles and provision and whatever they need. He's laid out a plan for living and acting and choosing. This offer by the king is a counter offer. It's a distraction. It's offering the same thing that God offers, just a different way. Just a way that leads to destruction instead of life. But the choice ultimately will be each of these men's choice to make. The offer is success. God has offered them success. His way in the plan that he's laid out. And the king who represents the world, who represents the way of life around them, has offered them now success. Not God's way, but the world's way. His own way. But we read that in verse 8, Daniel, it says, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king. He purposed in his heart. As this offer is being made, Daniel's already made a choice. He's already decided what he's going to do. He can see this offer as a counter offer. He can see that this offer is trying to entice him to the same thing God is giving him, just a different way. Daniel's purposed in his heart to choose God's way. The offer's been made, and he has made his decision. It's important that we realize that God honors our decisions, but he blesses our obedience. That can be a hard statement. We don't like to hear that, but that is the truth. He will honor our decision. If we want to choose the world's way, he'll honor that decision. He will allow us to go down that path. He'll allow us to have success the way the world offers it. But if we want his blessing, it's through obedience. He honors our decisions, but he blesses our obedience. And we read that as Daniel has chosen obedience, as he's chosen God's way, we read that God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. God is always working. He continues to bless them. He has a plan. He wants Daniel and the men with him who choose his way to be at the top. He wants them to advance and grow and be blessed. He wants them in positions of authority and influence so they can change the world for him. But he has a specific way to go about it. We're told in verses 17 through 21 what God did for the ones who chose his way. We read that God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. Doesn't say that they learned it. It doesn't say that the way the king taught or all of the teachers that were in place were so amazing. It says that God gave them. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. It says that he gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. As you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see that that comes in very handy. You'll see that God uses that to advance and to grow Daniel. We read that none was found that compared to them. The king had, from all of these different groups of people, several young men chosen who were perfect in every way. And none was found that compared to the ones who chose God's way. In all matters, it says, concerning wisdom and understanding, none was found like them. And not only that, but it tells us that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. 10 times better. It doesn't say that they could do the same things as the magicians and astrologers. It doesn't say that they could hold their own against them. It doesn't say that they could do similar style things. It says that they were 10 times better. There was no comparison. As you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see that no one could interpret these dreams. They couldn't do what Daniel and these men could do. Because God gave them that ability as they served him and did life his way. Because God is able, Scripture tells us. We talked about last week. God is able to do what we could beyond what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. God is able. But we must choose his way, not the world's way. Because God has laid out a plan for us. He's laid out a way of life for us that leads to relationship with him, that leads to his blessing and his influence in our lives. We have the offer. The choice is ours. Daniel served for a long time. Verse 21 tells us that Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. And most scholars believe this to be approximately 60 years. 60 years. This wasn't a fad. This wasn't just a one-time thing where they had a little bit of wisdom, where they crammed real good the night before the king examined them. This is something God gave them that was head and shoulders above the world's way. He served for approximately 60 years. Success can be ours. Now the thing with that is that even if we choose the world's way, we can have success. I know a lot of successful people who didn't do it God's way, who aren't living God's way. Success doesn't mean that you've chosen God's way. We can have success even if we choose the world's way, but it ultimately leads to destruction. And God also offers us success. That's a truth. God is a God of increase and abundance. He's not a God of push you down and shove you to the side and hide you in a corner. He's a God of increase and abundance, and he offers success in life. And his ways ultimately lead to eternal life and his blessing and his presence. That's very important, though, that as we talk about this, that we realize that success does not mean an absence of problems. That's where so many times messages like this get lost or get twisted up, because we deem success as when I have no issues. I have no problems. There's nothing I don't like in my life. There's nothing going wrong. That's not what success means. We get that mixed up. We like to think that with God there will never be problems. We like to then question people when they have problems. Oh man, the problems in your life. There must be some sin in your life somewhere that's not dealt with because of all of these problems that you have. Now, sin can cause problems. Sin does separate us from God, but problems come regardless. That is just a reality. Jesus himself told us that in this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, he said, because I've overcome the world. Problems come regardless. The difference is that with God, we are overcomers. That's the truth. That's the scripture. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. You name it, you dream it up, you think about it, and it cannot separate you from the love of God. You think about it, you dream about it, you make it up that can come against you, and it cannot overtake you. We're told in Scripture that the weapons formed against us will not prosper. But the weapons are still formed. They're still there. They still try. There's still issues. But we are overcomers in Christ. Now, Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, many of us will know the story, the fiery furnace. These three men chose, like Daniel, God's way. In the face of persecution, in the face of trouble, in the face of the offer that we all have, they chose God's way. However, because of this, they also chose to not defile themselves with the king's ways, with his delicacies, with his wine, with his way of life. And God promotes them, like he promoted Daniel, because God is a God of increase and abundance. They have success. This list that we read in verses 17 through 21 includes these three men. They had wisdom and understanding, were head and tail 10 times better than the magicians and the astrologers. Yet, they're given another offer. As you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see they're given another offer. The offer is stick with God's ways or change teams. And choose the world's ways. Choose what the king is putting in place. This offer to these three men comes in the form of bow to the king. Bow to the king. Forsake your God. Follow the world around you. Don't hold to the truth that you know. Look for success the king's way. That's the offer that they now have, and they choose God's way. Because they know God is ultimately king. Because they know God is for them. Because they know God brings them success. Because they know God has promised them things. But because of this, they end up in a fiery furnace, as we know the story. The king sentenced them to be burned in a fiery furnace. And he turns it up so hot that the guards that throw them in the furnace are actually burned up. Yet as we know the story, God saves them. We know the story that God saves them. There's another in the fire. God is with them. They come out not even smelling like smoke. Because God brings success. Because in Christ, we're overcomers. We love that. We celebrate that. We preach it. We sing about it. But don't lose the fact that they still had to go into the furnace. Don't lose that fact. Yes, God saved them. Yes, it was a miracle. Yes, it's amazing. Celebrate it. But they still had to be thrown in the furnace. Daniel is given another offer. It comes in the form as well. Don't worship only the one true God. We worship the king and his gods according to his decree. Just follow along, Daniel. Don't mess things up. Don't disturb the peace. Do like everybody else and just worship the king's gods. And you'll have success and you'll be left alone and the king will like you. But as we read, Daniel had already purposed in his heart to not defile himself. He's chosen God's ways. We know that in this second offer, he chooses God's ways. And we know that he ends up in a den with hungry lions. Daniel and the lion's den. God saves him. There's an angel. It closes the mouth of the lions. Daniel is not harmed. No one can believe it. The next, when they move the stone, and there he is, fine with the lions sleeping. It's a miracle. It's amazing. We celebrate. We sing about it. We preach about it. It's awesome. But don't lose sight of the fact that he still got put in the den with the lions. He still had to go there. He still had to spend the night. They still were there to eat him. But even in that, God gave him success. You'll see this offer all throughout your Bible. All throughout Scripture, there's offer after offer after offer being presented to people. Every day that you wake up, everything that you do, you're presented with an offer. And like Daniel, and like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you need to choose which way you'll go. Joseph, God blessed Joseph. God prospered Joseph. He saved Joseph over and over, and ultimately Joseph had amazing success. The right-hand man in Egypt. The right-hand man, he had rule and authority and power. Just like God gave him that dream, it all came to pass. It's amazing, and we celebrate it, and we sing about it. But Joseph still was put in that pit by his brothers who wanted to kill him. Joseph still was sold into slavery and spent a lot of time in that position. Joseph was still falsely accused when he did nothing wrong. He was still imprisoned in a dungeon and spent a lot of time there. All of that still happened. But ultimately, God always prevails. God brings success. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. What will it be for us? God's ways or the world's ways? That is the offer. That is the offer. We enter the kingdom through this offer. And we live and receive from the kingdom offer after offer after offer. Samson. God blessed Samson. God gave him supernatural ability, strength, and power. Read about Samson. The things that he did is unbelievable. The armies he fought off by himself. Unbelievable. And ultimately, Samson had success, but he still had the offer. He still had the choice to make God's way or the world around him. Samson found out the hard way. God's ways lead to eternal life and success, and the world's ways lead to destruction. As soon as he chose some of the world, he lost God's blessing. Because God honors our decisions, but he blesses our obedience. The offer is made to each of us. The choice is ours. Jesus, our Savior, our King, as we talked about last week, a few weeks ago, he was made the offer. The devil comes to him in the wilderness. Jesus is tired. He's hungry. Fasted 40 days and nights. That's a long time. He's made the offer by the devil. Success. Just bow to me, Jesus. Just this rock, just turn it into bread. You're hungry. Just make it happen. Bow to me, and all of these kingdoms that you see, Jesus, will be yours. Just throw yourself off this high place and have the angels come and catch you. It all can happen, Jesus. Jesus has given the offer, success. Just bow to me, the devil says. Or he can resist and continue why he came. He could take the easy way, and he could avoid all the pain and the suffering and the anguish of the cross. He knew why he came. He knew what would happen on that cross. He knew what was going to happen in time to come. He could avoid that. Just bow to the devil. The offer is the same. God is giving him all the kingdoms. God is giving him bread and water. He will thirst no more. God has, through him, angels that will catch him. The offer is the same. Success. Or he could choose the hard way and endure the pain that he knows is coming. Endure the suffering and the trial and the anguish that he knows the cross will bring. That is the offer. Easy way or the hard way. Either way, he's going to get the same thing. Success. It's the same thing that he'd have through the cross. He can go through the cross or he can bow to the devil. The only difference is that one way will end in destruction. The other way will end in him being the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the King that we declare is the name above all names. That is the offer. The result, success. It can come either way. God's way or the world's way, but the ending is much different. Paul, the Apostle Paul that we love to read about and talk about, Paul started out in the world's way. He wanted success. He wanted power. He wanted authority. He wanted status. He started out the world's way and he had great success. Because the world's way can give you success. He established himself as an authority. He had the fear of the entire Jesus following community. He had status, position, and power and success. But the way that he was going to end in destruction. God got a hold of him. You can read in your Bible. He realizes that the true offer made to him is God's way. All the other offers are counter offers. He ends up, as you read through your Bible, with the same power, the same authority, the same status. He wrote most of the New Testament. Paul. Jesus didn't want him to turn to him and live God's way so that he never does anything good, so that he never is special, so that he could never have status. But now, instead of destruction, his life will end in victory and eternal life with the King. But as you read about Paul's life in the New Testament, you'll read it's not all roses and daisies for Paul either. The man who wrote most of the New Testament, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, he did amazing things that many Christians today have never seen, can't even imagine happening. He had, he did, he lived. But he also experienced persecution and pain and suffering and imprisonment and setback. Not because he had sin in his life, because in this trouble, in this world, you will have trouble. But he knew that in Christ he would have victory. He knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. His life looks much like Daniel and the issues Daniel faced. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It looks much like Joseph. It looks much like Samson. It looks much like Jesus. Success is not an absence of problems. If you have problems in your life, it doesn't mean that God is far from you. Absolutely check your life. Absolutely check the way you're living to see if it lines up with the kingdom. To see, are you living God's way? Because sin will separate you from God. Because God will honor our decisions, but he blesses our obedience. So if we're not living in obedience, then absolutely, God's not got a lot to bless. But if we're living in obedience, if we're following God's ways, trouble will still come. There will still be hard times. There will still be setbacks, but you can know that victory is yours. You can know that in Christ you're more than an overcomer no matter what comes against you. You'll know that when the weapons are formed, they won't prosper. And you'll know that nothing can separate you from His love. So the question then is, where do you find yourself this morning? It's personal. This isn't just a book to be read about other people that matters nothing. It's personal. Have you realized the two offers in your life? One of them may be easy. One of them might be a little more difficult. If you choose the world's ways, there's a good chance you'll have success. I won't dispute that. But I want you to know that God's ways also bring success. Choosing God does not mean choosing failure. Choosing God does not mean boring. Choosing God does not mean lifeless. I said last week, if Christianity to you is boring, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. If you're bored, you're doing it wrong. Again, go this week. Everyone you know, talk about Jesus. Tell them about your faith. And then come next Sunday and tell me how bored you are. He's not called you to a boring life. He's called you to success. His way. The big difference between the two offers is the ending. And that's what makes it difficult. Because sometimes all that blessing is only realized in the ending. As you read through Hebrews, you will see that there is a lot of these heroes of the faith. And it has a little verse in there that says, none of them attained the full promise. But they lived as though they have. They received it in the end. The world and its ways will always end in destruction. But God's ways will always end in blessing and eternal life. So, Daniel, how did it all end for Daniel? Daniel chapter 12 and verse 13, God is saying to him, it says, but you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. That's how it ends for Daniel. That's how it ends for all of the people who choose God's ways. Daniel chose God's ways. He had success, and his life ends in blessing. We all have the same offer. Everyone that's come before us has these offers. Everyone who will come after us will have these offers. God's way or the world's way, you get to determine what will be your ending. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a way to success, a way that brings us to eternal life in your presence and your blessings. God, we recognize this morning that before us is an offer from the world that is counter to yours. We realize that it ends in destruction, and we choose you, Jesus. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would stir each of our hearts, show us areas and ways in our lives that we're choosing the world over you, that we're choosing ways that will lead to destruction over your ways that lead to blessing and life. We thank you that you are a God of increase and abundance. God, we thank you that in Jesus we are more than overcomers. We thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you that though weapons form against us, we thank you that your word says they don't prosper. We declare your ways to be true. We declare Jesus to be King. And we follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.